It's so good to be here, church. We're not having a seance with all these candles. I just put that out of your mind. Well, we're going to come around God's word, and I just pray before we do. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have always to learn from the word of God. It's a light unto our feet, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, that out of this word we can learn more and more, Father, that it will help us in our faith walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know, when I was growing up, we had a fireplace, and my dad would stoke it, he would light it, and he would tend it, and really I was in charge of stoking the fire when they would go out. And it was beautiful. Who's ever been in front of a fireplace? Back in South Australia, yeah, a few of you. It's just beautiful. Something about a fireplace and the crackling. Well, when they'd go out, they would make me in charge as the only one in the house to keep the fire stoked. So then it would keep the whole house warm. But I easily got distracted. And so I would go off into another room, and then they'll come home and I hear, Nina! And oh, the fire! And it would just dwindle down and literally be just embers of a little bit of, you know, ember in the wood. And so it is with our spiritual life. If we don't keep the fire of God alive in our lives, if we don't keep tendering, if we don't keep stoking it, it will diminish. It becomes ritual. It becomes religion. It becomes stale. And you know, when we became Christians, and for those who've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the fire of God started then. Then through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it came out again. Through your water baptism again. Through God encounters again. Whether it be in your devotional life, whether it be in a meeting, wherever it be, the fire of God continually wants to burn in our lives. And as you see, I'm surrounded here with a whole lot of candles. And in the Bible, the candle symbolizes God's presence, God's guidance, the light of his truth, and hope and watchfulness. And I want to look through the word of God and learn more about the fire of God and how we can have the fire of God continually burning in our lives, and how to keep the fire continually alive. We look at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9, and says, "Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the hearth," which actually means fireplace, "throughout the night till morning. And the fire must be kept burning on the altar." There were five offerings that we see in the Old Testament that it talks about. And one offering is called the burnt offering. And this is an offering that I'm going to refer to, the burnt offering, which actually means continual devotion to God. Why did the fire need to be kept burning? Number one, it reflects and symbolizes our devotion to God. The burnt offering symbolizes our commitment, our devotion, our hunger, our desire for God. It symbolizes our worship to him. Nothing was to be left on the altar. You know, some of you may not know much about the offerings that I'm going to talk about, and particularly the burnt offering, but I want to do a bit of a teaching to help us understand how that particular offering that we see also in Luke 1, when Zacharias called about having the burnt offering, and we see a symbolize of Jesus in that time of the burnt offering. So I want you to learn tonight a bit about the symbol about burnt offering and the offering of fire in our lives. Why is this so important that every single one of us must have the fire of God burning in our hearts? And that's going to be inconvenient, because when a fire continues to burn, it means sacrifice. It means not dying. It means dying to your things that you want to do. It means about commitment and devotion to God. You know, the fire represented God's presence, his power, his acceptance in his sacrifice. And just like the priest, God is calling us to take responsibility not to let the fire of God that he lit in our hearts at salvation, or that we had in an encounter meeting, whether it be your youth camp, your young people, that you had such a great encounter with God. For many of those here in your lifetime, I'm sure you can pinpoint where you had such an encounter with God. God is saying, I want to keep that fire burning in your heart, burning in your lives. God wants us to have a fiery love for him, a fiery devotion for him. He wants us to burn with fire, devotion in our hearts continually for him. Yeah. There is actually really a great value in being totally devoted to God. It directs us to the plans of God for our lives. I was talking to someone earlier, you know, just telling them, ask the Lord about the plans that he has for your life. He wants to reveal them. And that through the fire, through the presence, through the devotion of God, you can get the plans that he has, the purpose of God and the presence of God. He points us to true north. True north is upwards. True north is with God. You know, when you're out here doing your own thing and you're not living with the fire of God in your life, you're not living true north. You're living a selfish own life, just oblivious to what God has for you. But when you come into that place and surrounded with the power and the presence of God in your devotion, you're pointing to true north. Is your fire burning hot tonight? Number two, refuel the fire daily. Refuel the fire daily. Let's continue reading in verse 12. The fire of the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. You know, there was a burnt offering that the priest would make. They would take a lamb, meaning it was an atonement, meaning it was an offering, meaning their devotion, and they will put the lamb on the fire and the altar of the, and it will begin to burn up. At the start of the day, at 9 in the morning, right, and throughout the day it would burn, right, and at 3 o'clock they would do another burning of a lamb, sacrificing the lamb, a symbol of worship and devotion to God. So at 9 in the morning and in the evening at 3, there was a continual worship, a continual burnt offering, a continual devotion to the Lord. The people would come at those times and they'll begin to pray and they'll begin to worship and they'll begin to take their devotion and their attention towards the Lord. Why 9 in the morning and why 3 in the afternoon? Again, it was symbolizing that it was a continual devotion to God. Jesus actually incidentally died at 3 in the afternoon during the burnt offering time, saying, I give my life up for humanity. I surrender and I sacrifice my life. And that was a time of the burnt offering at 3, totally giving himself up, giving himself to God for us on our behalf. So why? Why are these two times such an important time? It's a reminder to us that at the beginning of the day, we wake up with our attention focused on God, in doing our reading, our devotion, and throughout the day. And then in the afternoon, we acknowledge God. We dedicate our lives to God. We do reading. We worship. We listen to a praise time. We have a time where we're reflecting on God. What's your language during your day? Is when something good happens, you do say, thank you, Jesus, you are so good? Or do you, when something bad happens, do you say, oh my goodness, it only happens to me, these bad things? Or do you go, God, I know that you're still in control? That's an attitude of a continual devotion to God. Whether good or whether bad, you're surrounded by the power and the presence of God. Sometimes when something bad happens, we're so quick to bring ourselves down. But God goes, hey, I am with you all the time. I am with you in this. So we need to acknowledge God at all times. You know, that we're not just devoted on a Sunday, tick the box, we were there. Or on a Wednesday night in life group, on a Friday night at youth. No, a continual devotion that it is Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And years go by and our life is a continual devotion to God at the start of the day and at the end of the day, a commitment to say, oh, I'm all yours, God. Take me all. My attention, my focus, no matter what happens, is on you. Have all of me. I am the burnt offering unto you. Refuel the fire in me daily. And it happens daily. It can't just happen on a Sunday. It needs to happen daily. You know, the percentage, I read it once, but I've forgotten, but the percentage of people who read, Christians, who read their Bibles daily was horrifying to read. It is so, so low. How are you supposed to know what God has for you? How are you supposed to go through those times with a word of encouragement that God wants to speak into your life? How are you supposed to have the joy of the Lord in your heart if you're actually not reading the Word of God and getting a personal word for you or a personal promise or a personal revelation? Because it's through this that the Lord desires to speak to us continually. Feed your spirit daily. I don't know what your rhythm is in your devotion with God, but just find one. Even if it's listening to the Bible online, doesn't matter. If it's YouVersion, just do it. Just get the word in you, because you know that when something will happen, you've got the word of the Lord in your heart. You're not crumbling like those Jenga things, towers, Jenga boards. You're staying strong. That's adding a log to the fire. Whatever happened in camp, keep it. Keep it fueled. Whatever happened in your encounter with God at some time, keep it fueled. This is how you keep, by worshiping, by the word. Verse 13, it says, the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. This fire continually was burning. The word continuously in the Hebrew is tamid. It's actually the first time it's ever used in the Old Testament. And it means a continual devotion. The whole idea of the burnt offering was there was a continual devotion towards God. The whole idea would be in the morning. Throughout the day, it would be burning. In the afternoon, there'd be another offering. And a continually daily devotion to the Lord. It's continuously. It's the idea of continually surrendering to God, continually knowing God and having His presence in our lives. He wants you to have that fiery love of His presence continually in our lives. Keep stoking the fire. Keep worshiping Him. Keep coming to church. Keep getting in your car and putting a praise tape on, but that's way, way years ago. You know, your Spotify on, you know, whatever it is, but continually be reflective on God and His presence. Number three, recognize who starts the fire. You know, when it comes to the fire of God in us, it's not something that we can start. We cannot manufacture the fire of God in our lives. We can only tend it. We can only feed it. We can only stoke it. God lights the flame, but we stoke it. We tender it. We pay attention to it. And if you're here today and you feel like a wet log, I believe God wants to breathe fire, breathe presence, breathe life onto you tonight, we're going to come into a time of just worshiping and opening the altar and getting a touch, have an encounter, refueling the fire of God. It can't start with us. It only starts with God. You know, in chapter 6, which we just read earlier in Leviticus, it's just really letting us know that the instructions on how the burnt offering should operate. But when you get to chapter 9 of Leviticus, it's going to show us how the first offering is actually burnt. Leviticus 9:23-24 says, Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. God started that fire. God started that fire on that altar with his presence. It wasn't man-made. The fire actually came from heaven. When you get a touch from God, it's not from Pastor Joe. It's from God. It's the fire from God. It's his presence directly upon you from God. But it was their job to keep tendering the fire. It was their job to keep putting logs on the fire. It was their job to continually have that devotional life with God. A spiritual fire does not start with effort. It starts with encounter. A spiritual fire doesn't start with effort. It starts with an encounter. But once you've got that, once you've had that encounter, don't treat it lightly. Stoke it, feed it, fuel it. Do what you need to do to keep that fire of God burning in your life. Remember who lit it and honour it, and do your part of stoking it. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Many scholars believe that Paul, who wrote this, has burnt offering in mind when he writes this. He's actually referring to the burnt offering, that we need to offer our lives. We need to offer our bodies as living sacrifices and be devoted to God. He's saying, I'm all yours, God. No matter what happens, I'm all yours. My focus, my attention, my love is upon you. The heart that is undivided. And devotion to God. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. Live a life that is on fire for God continually. You know, I've been a Christian for 53 years, and if I can tell you anything, keep the fire burning. When you feel like flat, when you feel God's not around, just don't give up reading your word. Don't give up coming to church. Don't give up getting in the presence of God. Don't give up putting a Spotify worship music on, but begin to just lay in the presence of God and allow him to rekindle that fire, to start that fire in you. Don't give up at that point. No, get in a place of encounter with God. You know, I love the heart of David. And this is what David says in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord is this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on his beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. David could have asked for anything. He had a lot of enemies. He could have asked for a missile. He could have asked for anything upon his enemies. But what did he ask for? He asked for one thing, that I may seek the Lord, that I may dwell in the presence of God, that I may seek the Lord and dwell in the presence of God. You know, if you seek Jesus, you get everything. If you seek everything else, you will get nothing of him. If you seek Jesus, you will get everything. But if you seek everything else, you miss out on him. One thing I seek, David says, one thing I desire of the Lord. This is what I seek, is to be in his presence all the days of my life. So what happens when you are in his presence? He speaks to us. He touches us. He changes us. He reveals to us. He meets us at that point of need in whatever situation we're in. He encounters us. That's what happens when you are in the presence of God. That's what happens when you keep that fire tended, where you keep stoking it. Number four, remain watchful. And I'm going to illustrate this. In Exodus, the boys are going to take their positions and I will explain what they're doing. But in Exodus chapter 27, it talks about a lampstand. And this is the menorah. And you will see it behind me. And this lampstand, the menorah, was in the temple. It was in the holy place. It was in the holy place. And this lampstand was always had its lights, its candles burning continuously. And this represents the illumination of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit illuminates the Spirit and the presence of God to us. You know, when you've been in a time of his presence and you just feel so close to us, so close to God, that's the Holy Spirit that illuminates his presence to you. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God when you read it to you. Jesus said when he comes, talking of the Holy Spirit, he said he will take what is mine, what is Jesus, and he'll make it known to you. Imagine having what Jesus knew, making known to us. What do I do here, Lord? Holy Spirit illuminates this. Don't fall asleep, guys. Take what is mine and make it known to you. That's what he does. He reveals God to you. He reveals the will of God to you. He reveals the word of God to you. He magnifies Jesus and makes Jesus bigger in your life, in your situation. And when he does that, then we're transformed into the image of Jesus. We must remain watchful, or we will miss out. I want to tell you a story. And I've never seen this before. And it's a story of Eli. And Eli was the priest of Israel. And Samuel. Samuel was 8 years old. And he was in the temple. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I will tell you when to move, boys. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. So that means he was taught by Eli, the priest. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so very weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. So here is Eli. This is the courtyard. This is the holy place. And this is the Holy of Holies where the Ark of God was, the menorah was. Stay there. And Samuel, who was trained by God, just move over a bit, was lying next to the candle. No, it's okay. He lay next to the candle. No, don't, you'll burn yourself. He never went out. This candle never, he was the one to make sure that it never went out. He was the one to make sure that that candle continually burnt. Eli, the high priest, is old. It's a spiritual even picture that his spiritual fervor has gone out. He's now in a total different place. He's away from the candle, from the fire, right? He's away in another room, in another chamber. But Samuel remains. to see this candle continually burning. It's a spiritual picture of Eli that he's away. He can't hear. He can't see. He's away from the presence of God. And what's going to happen is Samuel's only 8 years old. And Samuel's asleep, and all of a sudden he hears, "Samuel! Samuel! Samuel!" Samuel hears. He runs over to Priest Eli. Priest Eli needs to be woken up because he did not hear the voice of the Lord. Why didn't he hear the voice of the Lord? Because he was not near the presence of God. He was in another room. But yet, even though Eli was a bad father, he had terrible kids. He loved the Lord though, but his fire spiritually had gone dim. But yet he could still train Samuel to say, "Samuel, that is the Lord calling you. Go back and say, 'Here I am, Lord.'" And Samuel runs back to the candle, fire of the Lord, and he says,
"Here I am, Lord."
You see, you can go, boys. Give them a hand as they go. The most discouraging thing, I think, would be to be in Eli, who is no longer near the presence of the Lord, who doesn't even hear God call anymore. I think the most discouraging, tragic thing in life would be not to hear God when he calls. He can operate in rote and say, "Well, yeah, Samuel, I remember that voice," and you go back and you say, "Here I am." He can teach him, but not to hear the voice of the Lord. Can the musicians come right now? Because internally, the lamp had gone out. His eyes had grown weak. His body had become faint. His boys were just brats. And verse 3 says, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was." The ark is just in here. He's near the ark. This is the Holy of Holies. This is the holy room. And he's just near the holy, near the lamp. And what's going to happen in this time? The lamp in the tabernacle is going to go out. And when that goes out, the ark is going to be captured. And Eli and his sons are going to die on that same day. You see, when the fire goes out in you, you'll still know how to do religion. You'll still turn up on a Sunday. You'll know how to do. You'll know what the right thing to say when someone asks you a question. But God wants us to experience his power, his presence, his fire, to live in our lives always. Like Samuel, he never left the presence of God. He waited. He kept close to the presence of God. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know where you are, whether you're a wet log, or whether you're ash, where the fire's gone out, or whether you're an amber, where there's just a little bit of flickering and crackling, or whether your fire, your logs are burning. But I know that the Lord wants you all to experience his encounter. I know that the Lord wants you to experience the fire in the presence of God. I know that the Lord wants you to say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, speak to me," like Samuel. "Here I am, I'm hungry. I desire for your presence." You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, "Timothy, fan the flame the gift of God. Flame it again. The flame. Fan it tonight. We're going to have a time of worshiping encounter. Fan it. As you come to the altar, fan it. Just no agenda. But God, here I am, a living sacrifice. I'm all in. I want the fire of God to burn in my life. I want to be so close to you that I will be like a Samuel that hears you calling me, that hears you speaking to me when I read the word, that I feel when I come to church, your presence. When I'm in life group, I experience the power and the presence, God. When I'm in youth group, I experience that flame of that fire continually burning. Are you hungry? You're hungry for his presence? You know, I tell you, in 53 years of being a Christian, I've had moments of great intense of encounter with God. I remember being in a youth group called in Hochsteins, which was just the name of the town, and we had such a God encounter in that youth group. I saw things that I'd never seen in my life. I felt the presence of God like I never felt in that place. And it was about 400 to 500 young people in that camp. And we had a touch of heaven that it probably would be, I don't get right numbers right, but a couple of hundred to this day are ministers of God, missionaries and pastors who lead churches all over the world from that one youth group. But the sad thing is there's also a number of people, lots of people in that youth group that never flamed the fire. So when tragedy came, when bitterness came, when the disappointment came, they sat in it until they rotted, no longer in church. And I know a lot of them. But I want to tell you, let us not be that statistic. Let us be the ones who fan the fire of God, who in that position where we are surrendered by the candles, by the presence, by the power of God in our lives. The reason that Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, because he stayed near the fire. He stayed near the presence of God. If you have never had an encounter with God, hunger for it. I've never had drugs, but Mark told me once what they were like. Nothing like my encounter was billions and trillions times better than his stuff. If you're still feeling like you're a wet log, don't give up. Continue to stoke. Continue to stay near the flame. Say, I'm hungry every day, God. I'm hungry from morning till night. Hunger, because he's waiting to touch, he's waiting to feel, he's waiting to speak. Father, as we close right now, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your presence goes wherever we are, waiting for us. Father, I pray that the fire of God would never be ash, but Lord, it'll be fire, it'll be power, it'll be presence. Father, I pray that we would leave this place hungering, desiring, just like Samuel, to hear your voice, to feel your presence. We would never become like an Eli, doing religion. But Lord, we will be always seeking and desiring after you. Father, I pray that even this week, oh God, when people, even in this night, as people go to bed, God, I pray for God visions. I pray for God dreams. I pray that even in their sleep, they'll be filled with God. In their waking up, there'll be a fire, like Jeremiah says. It's like fire shut up in my bones. that we will wake up with hunger, with yes, Lord, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm here. Speak. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.